Brought a whole library today. You have handed out to you copies, same as last Sunday. I haven't changed it. Just the Greek verses, Romans 1, 1 through 7. I hear paper rustling. It was handed out. You take notes on it. You'll get another sheet next Sunday. If you're here in the cathedral or in the cathedral chapel up in Berkeley. And I will add some notes probably by next Sunday on the one that's handed out. So go ahead and scribble all over this. It's for you to take notes on. You have... You should be able to read it by now. Paulus, Doulos, Christou, Jesu, is that what you have? Can you follow that? You should start writing your own translation now. I'm only going to use the first letters as we go through it because I want to get down to the last verse. This is Paul, his Gentile name, slave. We've covered that. Your King James will translate it servant. It's not servant. It's bond slave, from which there is no escape. You are totally, completely owned, bought with a price of Christ, of Jesus. In the genitive case, we talked about that. The ending is genitive, which is, let me hear it, origin. That's the most important word to know about the genitive case. Origin. Oh, there's subjective genitive, objective genitive. There's the simple grammar that says it's possession, and that's true. Paul is possessed by Christ Jesus. Paul the slave is possessed by Christ Jesus. And this is the nominative case, which speaks of subject until the ending's the same. Nominative case. Each one of these are the subject. But this genitive case goes beyond possession because, as we have pointed out in this diagram of the Christian experience, this being you, the subconscious, the I want side of the nature, the emotive, I want, the self-writing, half between, more than half sometimes, conscious and unconscious, the subconscious, that was not a Freudian slip, subconscious, conscious, the oughtness side, the judicial side, what I ought to do, and the executive side, what I will do, and what I did, which the world sees. I don't want to go through all this again. I just want to say it in a sentence. Generalized other out here that has wants, whatever the social frame in which we're born, that lets us know our wants may conflict with their wants. And you eventually internalize a moral system where you have decided you will commit yourself to what is viewed by you as good and bad will be avoided, and you hope to execute the moral side, but the old man gets out. And when Paul says to the Galatians, ye which are spiritual, if a brother be overtaken with a fault, doesn't mean we overtook him and caught him. It means his old nature, in spite of himself, got out. That nature is always there. We describe the Christian experience for faith. God laid whatever we did as short, and the New Testament describes sin as hamartia. We've all short fallen, but God laid all of our sins on Him that God might relate to us on a new basis. And that new basis is what we are ringing in this first seven verses, the hearing of faith. When we are trusting, He takes our trusting faith in place of our performance of legalized, do do this and don't do that. And for our faith, He gives us justification, which is to treat us, you want to play on words, just like we're what we're not. We are justified and treated as though we're just like God when we're not. But He takes us and looks at us through the spectacles of Christ and takes our faith, as we will see when we get to Romans 4, the fourth chapter, He takes our faith as though it were Christ's performance and puts us in Christ, seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And we are viewed by Him through the spectacles of Jesus. As we keep the connection of faith, we're seen as just like Him, though we're not, because He became just like us, though He was not, and took our sin. But He does something else, which is why we call salvation or regeneration, born again experience, regeneration, re-originating, re-origin. We not only are taken and justified, we have placed in us a deposit of His nature, and we become a new creation in Christ Jesus. And this old nature with its wants is at war with the new nature, which is coming forth in the fruit of the Spirit, where spirituality is God being Himself through us. And spirituality is literally the expressions of this new nature in us instead of the old man that's still very much alive. And the Christian walk is a constant warfare as you walk along. Now, as we've seen that, the reason the genitive is so important, you don't have it in you to be Christ's slave. But when Christ's faithfulness and God's faithfulness brings forth the spark of faith, that spark of faith not only puts us in Christ, puts Him through the Spirit in us, and the origin of the attitude of complete slavery or commitment to Christ is the Spirit of God in us, whose very nature is to be the servant. And this will be about the fifth time in this series I have come against what crops up periodically in the history of the church. You've heard me say many times what one old philosopher said. You can't come up with anything new because the ancients have stolen everything new. And some dumb goose comes along and thinks he's come up with something new. It was there. The hedonists were there before the hippies decided, I want, therefore I ought, therefore I will what I want to be. The hedonists did that in ancient Greece. It ain't new. Periodically, somebody comes along that wants to rescue the Holy Spirit from obscurity. The poor Holy Spirit is somehow in the shadow of God the Father and God the Son. And He's waited all these eons of time for me to come along and pick Him up from the shadows and dust Him off and say, here, sit there next to the Father. You're going to get your credit from me. And let's give Him some attention. Let's pray, oh Holy Spirit. Go ahead. He ain't going to like it. The Holy Spirit doesn't like it. The Holy Spirit knows what happened when Christ was declared Son of God in power, and God determined as He made the trip at that point of raising from the dead, God would give Him a name which is above every name, that the name of Jesus every knee would bow. And He knows what His assignment is. When He comes, He will testify of me, not Himself. And he knows that Jesus said, when you pray, say this, not, O Holy Spirit, our Father who art in heaven. Of course, you know, when you're discovering something new, you can't be troubled with the Bible. The genitive case points out why the possession is complete. If he possesses you and puts his life in you, his life is a slaving life. Let's keep going. Kleto. Kletos. I'm going to write in red first so I can write over it. Not enough boards here. Kletos. That's what your next word is? Call. Simply translates. Call. Apostolos. Ends in the same nominative case, right? Called. Apostolos. Then you got a long word. Aphorismenos. Now what you got? Aphorismenos. Separated. Simplest explanation, but it's the same word from which we get horizon. He has a new horizon now. Paul, enslaved, with the life of the Spirit, the self-chosen slave of the Godhead, the Holy Spirit, the agent of service by which the Godhead does its work. The Holy Spirit knows his role. He's not sitting crying, that's what Satan did. Well, I'll arise and be like God. One rebel wasn't enough. Modern heretics want to, don't talk to me about some of these people, well, what they say is backed up by miracles. Well, doody-doo-doo. I still remember Clara Grace's eyes when she looked at me in that prophecy that unfolded saying my voice would be taken around the world, and we're still just touching at the fringes of the fourth element of that prophecy, miracles, where she said my voice would be taken because there'd come revival in these last days and many tangential voices would raise up who would point to miracles to justify the tangent they were on. It's getting ready for Antichrist. Getting ready for the last days. No, the Lord's not going to come this year. He's going to come the year 2000. I don't know when he'll come. I know when he won't come because Jesus chided them for not being able to read the signs, and he then said, like the weather, you can tell when something's going to happen. And then he goes into a series. These things will happen, but the time is not yet. These things will then happen, but the time is not yet. These things will happen, but the time is not yet. No man knoweth the hour, but you can know when it's even at the door. When so many of these things that happen before it's not yet, you're close. And we're getting close. Earthquakes in diverse places as never before. Oh, they can say what they want about it. We just have them happening in populated places. Well, I'm quite sure that if the Bible's talking about the earthquake in diverse places, he's not talking about some valley you can't get to in the Himalayas. Some people strain at being dumb. Sign of the times. How do you think Antichrist will come to power? He isn't going to get people to bow down to him because the religious force in the world is too strong. Governments have tried to overthrow it for years. The only way the devil can get his way is through false prophets that caricature the gospel. He did not come to Eve and say there is no God. She had said, were you here yesterday? stick around till sundown. He didn't try to tell her there was no God. He tried to say, God didn't mean it. Or did God really say? He was a preacher. Reinterpreting God's Word. Not proclaiming it. Reinterpreting it. God didn't really say this. How does Antichrist come to power? False prophet. It is the false prophet that persuades people to bow to the image of the Antichrist. And his message is, get on with things down here. You can't buy or sell without his mark. So there's going to be a false prophet that will tell you it's okay to take his mark. And the false prophet gains his audience by working miracles that have never been seen before. If your criteria is miracles, instead of trying the spirits by thus saith the word of God, you're a gullible idiot that will be bowing down to any false prophet that comes along, because you have genuflected in front of miracles for so long, all you got to do is see a miracle if a lion's performing it. Somebody gets healed through skunk spray, you'll be building shrines to skunks. I'm telling you, it's heresy. It's heresy to put yourself first. It's heresy in the name of God, no matter how popular you are, to take sin out of God's book. Thus Jesus didn't have to die. What kind of idiot martyrdom did God put his son through? If we do not need redemption from sin. It's heresy to change the role of the Holy Spirit to anything other than being the agent of service in this world in his present role of carrying out God's will, which includes the exaltation of Christ and his word. That spirit in us makes us a servant. That spirit in us ignites like a chemical catalyst. Ignites the capacity to respond to what God already did in the ages before the worlds were formed, of selecting out from among those he didn't select, those he would call. And this slave, called to do his purposes, is given a specific purpose, separated, new horizon, unto ice, I'm just going to use letters now, unto for the purpose of euangelion. See that word? Translated the gospel of God, theou. It's his gospel. Paul, now let me summarize this. Paul is slave, called, apostolized, or apostle, of Christ, of Jesus, for the purpose. Purpose? He is separated, specifically aimed, if you will, in his mission. For the purpose he is called, slave, sent, separated to this one purpose, the gospel of God. Which said gospel you then have pro-epangelito? That's your word? Pro-epangelito of God, which was previously promised in Graphais Hagiais, previously promised in Holy Scriptures, previously promised, written down in Holy Scriptures concerning Perry, the son of him. Will you out to? You got that? Previously promised by the prophets of him, ton propheton out to. Got that? In Graphais Holy Scriptures concerning the son of him. Now concerning this son, are you that far with me? As I'm trying to summarize the flow of this complicated sentence. Paul, slave, called apostle of Christ Jesus, separated or given a new horizon whose focus is the gospel of God, which said gospel was previously promised in prophets of him. Propheton out to is very important. Prophets out to of him, which again is genitive. From him comes their source or pouring forth or speaking forth God's word, which is what a prophet is. There are other kinds of prophets. But this purpose to proclaim the gospel of God, which was previously proclaimed by prophets of him in scriptures or writings, holy, not just any writings, holy scriptures, giving the record concerning his son. Now, concerning this son, which to get it to, you got that one? Which was made, it will be translated, made of the seed spermatos, ex spermatos David, of the seed of David, katasarka, according to the flesh. Then that next powerful statement, to holis menos, or horistentos. Got that? You got that one? To horistentos. Find that on your Greek paper yet? To horistentos. Huiu theu in dunamai kata numa hagiosunis, which was declared concerning the son of him, made of seed of David, declared, and we have seen, that's better said, inaugurated, son of God in dunamai. You surely can reach that, find that word, in dunamai. Declared son of God in power, kata numa hagiosunin, by the spirit of holiness, ex anastasios nekron. By resurrection of the dead or of dead persons, which, to repeat, as we set the frame, Paul, slave called, sent, of Christ Jesus, for the purpose of the gospel of God, which said gospel was previously promised, which said gospel was previously promised in written scriptures holy concerning the Son of Him. Concerning this Son, a parenthesis, made of the seed of David, proving the prophecy, declared and inaugurated Son of God when He burst forth, Son of God in power, as He burst forth from that grave, and thus, as Son of God in power, is seated at the right hand of God, capable of distributing the same power in us that raised up Christ from the dead. You ain't going to have this without faith. That's why the minute somebody comes to work in this church, the minute they go on target. If you think the devil's giving you problems out there, get in the trenches with me. You instantly become a target. And Satan's only target, goal, is to break the connection of faith. You are no match for the devil. But greater is He that is in us than he that's in the world. Now, He that is in us will continue to be in us only if we keep moving, acting in faith. That's the message of the Hebrews letter. How do you? You are the house of God, the house of the Holy Spirit, who now comes to dwell in us as God's gift because of our faith. The same Spirit that raised up Christ from the dead, that at the time of the resurrection, the power to distribute this. That makes the Holy Spirit, by His choice, servant. He doesn't need a rescuer. These heretics trying to rescue the Holy Spirit should have been around when Jesus humbled Himself and moved into a tent of human flesh in order that He might live out the law and free us of its bondage and become the perfect kinsman redeemer who could offer Himself in our place. He is Son of God forever in glory, having emptied Himself of much of that divine nature and moved into a tent of human flesh and is constrained until He walks the course. Well, there would have been those that the Christian Booksellers Association helping Jesus discover that wasn't His role. They would have written a prayer that said, "Restore Him to His glory." The Holy Spirit is the Spirit that raised up Jesus from the dead. That phrase, ex anastasios nekron, at that moment when He was raised from the dead and burst forth from the tomb, so much power radiated that Matthew tells of other saints being raised from the dead at the same time. Hey, Lazarus was not a resurrection. And these books that are saying Jesus practiced on Lazarus have got it right. Because if Jesus was just another Lazarus, it's not a resurrection. The little girl He raised was not a resurrection. The resurrection took His dead body from that grave, regenerated and enlivened it with new life, and that Spirit brought forth a complete new creature. As He was the Son of God, I taught two or three Sundays ago, from the beginning, and became the God-man earthly. Something never, ever seen before. God eternal, God's Son, taking our form. I've preached on this in Hebrews. The writer is amazed that God did not bend down low to restore fallen angels. And he, having a choice about flesh and blood, we not having a choice, we are born flesh and blood. He chose to kin himself with us and take on flesh and blood. He was the Son of God who takes our form and substance. Now, at the resurrection, he's not just what he was, Son of God, eternal. He is now the God-man, Son of God, eternal. He takes that earthly body he took with him and becomes the first fruit of what we look forward to becoming at the resurrection or his coming. Now, this explosive bursting forth also took some other saints that were true resurrections. Such a burst of power. That same power that raised up Christ from the dead shall quicken our mortal bodies, shall so dwell in us. And as long as that life is there, greater is he. Look, the fear of death held mankind down. He snatched the keys of death, hell, and the grave. Talk about more power than Satan. He snatched those keys and burst forth by the power of the Spirit of God to carry out the promise of the Father. He became the first fruit. Now he sits as Son of God, inaugurated in power, dispensing to fathers. And the Hebrews letter says, we are the habitation of God through the Spirit. How do we remain? Mr. Sal and most of your compatriot traditional Christians will tell you, yes, God's Spirit comes in and regenerates you because of faith. Your faith makes it happen, or your faith is what causes God to make it happen. But you've got to walk now worthy of keeping it in. So we turn to works from faith. And I was saying I hire people. They have faith. They come here. Now the attack intensifies. Now all Satan wants to do is break faith. Break the connection. Because the minute faith connection breaks, the Spirit's gone. Yesterday's indwelling, it means nothing today. Hebrews says you continue to be the house of God through the Spirit if you continue the way you started. So here they come with a euphoric glow. They're working for the Lord now. And they stop listening. I provide them free tapes of every service in case they're working on Sunday. I can poll them all. They don't listen. Oh, they think they're listening while they're working. No, they're not listening like you are, sitting down, asking the Spirit's help, no distraction, concentrated. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. So here comes the devil as an angel of light, and he sits on their shoulder and yours, and you're working so hard for Jesus, you don't have time to listen. And you lose faith. God is not the author of fear. And I see fear paralysis take over. I see people starting to work. Their whole motive is to avoid getting in trouble. They aren't acting in faith. Fear is taking over. Well, the Bible's got an answer. I mean, if you're a weak Christian, what time I'm afraid, I will trust in the Lord. That's a weak Christian. You wake up while you're sliding. The better, as David got older, I will trust and not be afraid. You don't even let fear's tentacles get hold of you. But it's hopeless if you don't feed on faith. How long can you go without food and water? You cannot work for God. Paul worried that in preaching to others, he had become a castaway. You got to feed on God's Word to have faith. But at this moment, when Christ burst forth, seated at the right hand of the Father, He has at His right hand the capacity to dispense the power of God to each of us. And that's why He said to them, "Ye shall be witnesses unto me in the whole earth." 12, 11 left. Motley little do-nothings. You're going to shake the whole world. But tarry until you be endued and dynamited with power from on high. And on that day of Pentecost, when it was fully come, they were transformed by the power of the Spirit. You maintain that connection, walking in faith, having declared Himself made of the seed of David, declared Son of God and power, from whom? Who? From whom? The lawful men, you got it? You find the word? The lawful men? From whom this Son of God, born of the seed of David, declared Son of God in power, from whom we have received Kyrene, grace, Chi, and apostleship. You got that? Apostleship. We. His apostleship is very specific. All have received grace, and all have received grace for a purpose which is to be sent at God's bidding. Grace and apostleship, and we have received this grace and apostleship, ice, for the purpose of hupakoing. Got that? Hupakoing, pisteos, which we have spent several sessions now saying that translates literally, not obedience to the faith, which is what your King James says, hupakoin pisteos, hupakoin pisteos, hearing of faith. And I spent three messages enlarging, trying to enlighten, expanding through the Scripture that this word wrongfully translated, obedience, in the King James, would have been okay had the word obedience maintained its original root meaning, which, you recall, obedience comes through the Latin, and the Latin language is ob is a prefix, and obedience is to run toward a sayer, what is said by a sayer. And I spent a whole lot of time talking about you can run to the message, what is said, or you run to what is said because of who says it. So the critical issue in this hupakoin pisteos is you're running to the who said it and attuned to hear what was said because of who says it. Remember that? Now, this same word, akoue, or akoi, is used in Galatians 3. Received you the Spirit by the works of the law or the hearing of faith. I traced for you in an earlier message this word being used in the Septuagint, which was the Greek translation of the Old Testament, to translate a variety of words, all of which mean hearing. We have obedience is better than sacrifice. Shema is the root to hear. We go all the way back to God calling Adam and Eve in the garden to hear. To the one voice in a new constituted world after the flood, Noah. Shem protected him. And Noah speaks, and blessing falls on Shem. His very name means to hear. As the Old Testament is full of strange names, they all describe the personality, which is why the word is used in the Old Testament to describe things that are, as well as calling in that word that we're coming to, kletoi, which in the Old Testament is the other side of the hearing. The obedience is hearing the caller. And the caller is saying something, and if it's God saying it, it becomes as he says it. When God says, light be. Light be. There's light. Now, the word can be to call or to be. He speaks and says, and it becomes. These words in the Old Testament flow into upakoi, to hear. The root sham is there. Samuel heard the voice of the Lord. And when God is talking about Abraham, who heard him in part, come out of your country and leave your kindred. He comes out of his country and takes his kindred. His father dies, he keeps going and takes his kindred. Lot. He comes to the place and God says, this is it. Near Nablus in modern Israel. God says, this is the place. This is what I called you. I told you I was going to take you to a land you didn't know what about. This is it. Famine hit. He listened to the circumstance, not God, and fled down to Egypt and fell into sin. And he still had a lot with him. Well, he got rich, but he wasn't listening to God. Barely escaped with his life because he had conceived a lie with Sarah to trick the king. And when he comes back to the same place, Lot's still with him and the herdsmen get in a fight. And Abram says, let's have peace between us. You pick, look, every direction, you pick the land you want. And that'll be yours and I'll stay away and I'll take the rest. And he was like the two brothers choosing cats, an alley cat and Siamese. One brother picked the Siamese and said, now you choose. That's what Lot did. He picked the best. And then it says, after Lot left him, then God says, lift up now thine eyes. Look, north, south, east, west, as far as you see, it's yours. Arise and walk, and everywhere the sole of your foot touches, it'll be thine. Yeah. He heard in part. He heard in part. He didn't believe, because when his wife died, he still didn't own anything. They offered to give him a plot of land to bury his wife in. He said, no, I'll buy it. Well, why didn't he just let him give it to him? It was his. He paid for what God said was his. If God says something's mine and you offer to give it to me, man, just get out of the way. How fast can we write? He didn't believe all the way until God told him to take that very, oh, everything. You and Sarah. She laughed, he laughed. You're going to have a son. Well, is she too old? And Sarah and he came up with this committee idea. Go get, you got this, you know, pretty young thing as a servant lady. Didn't take any spirit of God to produce Ishmael. Then, he wanted to keep him. God said no. Sarah! By Sarah! Ha, 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 ha! Even you wouldn't make it with her, God. You awake for the last 5 minutes now? Now the miracle child occurs. He still wants to keep Ishmael in the house. They're fighting. He heard in part. Still at war with God's call. Until the day came, God said, take this gift. Ishmael's gone. Now Isaac is the gift. An offering to me is a burnt offering. This son that is supposed to be your seed that will reach the numbers of the stars of the heavens, take him and kill him. Burnt offering. I've been over this for four Sundays in a row. He went. Isaac said, we have everything else, Father. Where's the sacrifice? Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will provide. At the bottom of the hill, he tells the servants to wait. But then that wonderful clue to faith. He says, we're going up, I and Isaac, and we will come back. He had reached a stage that this was God's gift. This was the recipient and channel of promise for God to bless the whole world. Therefore, if God said, burn him on the altar, God would raise him from the dead. Because he knew now he could believe God, he could trust God, he would do what God said, God would make it come out right, and he and Isaac, whatever and however, would come back down that hill. God says, now I know, Shammah, you hear me. Same word. It's only complicated, and I spend these number of hours because our brain is so fixed on tradition that makes void the Word of God. When you really trust someone, you run instantly. I use the illustration. If you're lost in a life raft at sea in the fog, and you hear the fog horn of the rescue vessel, you don't need prompting. You go toward it. This God who called us before the world's reformed, manages to find us somewhere looking for the hearing of faith. In Possum, in all, Tois Ethnesin, the nations, Hooper, for the sake of Onomatos, the name, Autu, of him. This hearing of faith is what his mission is, to take the gospel that is backed up by these prophecies and the power of Jesus Christ, of the Son, who has given us grace and apostleship, that we might bring forth the hearing of faith among all nations, every ethnic group, a new truth in his day. And among Hois, among whom Este, are, Kai, also, Humite, ye, Kletoi, and there's the word again, Kletoi, as he was Kletos, they are Kletoi, Jesu, Christu, I haven't got time to write, among whom, among all nations that are to be brought forth into the posture of hearing of faith, of whom are also ye, the called of Jesus Christ, in Roma, all, Possum, Tois, the ones, Usen, of you, in Roma, in Rome, listen close, Agapitos, beloved Theou of God, Kletois, called Hagiois, saints. Follow it concerning the Son of Him, made of the seed of David, inaugurated Son of God in power at the resurrection, from whom we've received grace and apostleship for the purpose of bringing forth the hearing of faith among all nations and ethnic groups, among whom are also ye called of Jesus Christ, of all, among all those in Rome. In other words, we're to go to the whole world. But among this ethnic group that have received grace and apostleship for the purpose of bringing forth hearing of faith, are ye in Rome. I will point out later, they even took that out of some of the manuscripts so it could be more general and could be circulated among all the churches. So you could write in, read it this way, concerning the Son, that's what the gospel is, concerning His Son, made of the seed of David, inaugurated Son of God in power, who can give that power to us, from whom we receive grace and apostleship, that we might bring forth among all nations the hearing of faith, but among whom are ye also the called of God. Among whom are ye, fill it in the blank, in Los Angeles, in Chicago, in Dallas, wherever you are. Agapitos, beloved of God, called saints. Paul, specifically, called apostle. You, in Rome, Chicago, Hartford, Los Angeles, called saints to offer yourselves as His, to do with as He will. You say, this is a hard road to hoe. Beloved of God. Beloved of God. He called you. He sent His Son to redeem you. He raised His Son and delegated power that can be given to us, that we might become His working instruments to bring forth this gospel to the whole world. That's why we go to the whole world, folks. At least this church is trying to do it, and that's my message. This little book that we sell in the bookstore and by Dolores Press, Lexical Age for Students of New Testament Greek, points out that faith, the root pi iota theta, the same root for pitho and pisteo. I'm going to read you something I read last Sunday. Pitho and pisteuo, to trust, are closely related etymologically. The difference in meaning is that the trust of pitho implies the action that is produced by faith, pisteo. I spent a lot of time last night tracing the word python, the serpent that crushes. You don't have to think too long to know its root. The Greeks deified pythons. And the python was the evil serpent that guarded the evil, so-called sacred shrine at Delphi. that in Greek mythology Apollo slew. And then he became the patron of Delphi. In the Old Testament, it came to mean many times evil seducer. And it came to mean an evil spirit within. Like, if you read the original, Saul, after the Spirit of God left him, sought a witch. The literal is, had the spirit of Python in her. That's how Satan moves in to sacred territory and destroys it. But as it moved into the New Testament, you'll find both uses. Pytho can be used to seduce, persuade, to be persuaded wrongly. But it is only used in the right sense, though it has the same root, because the root, pi, iota, theta, means to bind. Satan wants to bind you to him. But knowing that if God called you and found you and you started the path, your faith bound you to him. And wonderfully true, binds him to you as an indwelling spirit. Therefore, Satan's role as a seducer is to break the bind. He will do it any way he can. He will do it by getting you to do something better than feeding on his word. He will get you to do it by going out and knocking home runs for God and running ahead of him. He will do it in any way he can. But the only python that counts for God is that binding that is the fruit of hearing, of faith, which is the fruit of hearing the word, which binds you to God, because when he sees that you are trusting him, whatever, when he can finally say, as he said of Abraham, now I know. I'm sorry to report, I don't think he can say that about me yet, but I'm going there. When he can say, now I know, you will hear me, whatever. Now I know. You've come to the state. I can do all things through Christ that strengtheneth me. Now I know you really believe God enters in to all things to work his good to them that are the called according to his purpose. When you are unwavering in that and can say amen to God no matter what, then God knows you are worthy not just to be called, but to be chosen and among the faithful. That's what this pastor is charged to bring forth, not only in himself, but to this congregation. It's offering time. My Heavenly Father watches over me. Good day, folks.